I would invite you to take a Bible and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We will be reading verses 12 through 20 as we think about resurrection faith. Verses 12 through 20, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation has been in vain, and your faith has been in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified of God that He raised Christ, whom He did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have died in Christ have perished. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. Ask most Christians about what they consider the essentials of the Christian faith, the essentials of Christian belief. And among those things mentioned, pretty near the top, you will find that they will include not just the crucifixion, but they will include the resurrection of Jesus from the dead as one of the essentials to be Christian. This essential, the resurrection, depicted not only in the window here with Mary and Jesus, but also with the ascension window, this essential gives us hope, does it not? It gives a foundation of hope for salvation. But even more so, hope for our own resurrection and our own presence in heaven, right? John Short notes, Paul had made it plain to them, that is the Corinthians, that the gospel of deliverance, with its promise of eternal life, was not based on a philosophical or theological doctrine of the immortality of the soul. Rather, it was based on the fact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ Himself. End of quote. When we think about redemption and deliverance and salvation, we think about not only that life that Jesus lived, but most folks think about the crucifixion, resurrection. But you know, there are people today, believe it or not, who try to downplay the resurrection of Jesus, except on Easter Sunday. And there are many who are skeptical about that resurrection, are they not? But you know, this is not a postmodern phenomenon. It's not something that's just showed up at the end of the 20th and beginning of the 21st century. There were many skeptics in Paul's day, and quite frankly, there were a lot of skeptics immediately after that resurrection of Jesus in his day. In Paul's day, and as he wrote to the church at Corinth, there were so many philosophies and so many religions present that it was no wonder that there were questions about the validity of Jesus' resurrection. Some of those talked about souls being immortal, but they moved on into the afterlife in other places. They tried to sometimes talk about resuscitation, but not the resurrection of a dead body. In fact, the very core of the structure of the Christian faith was at stake for Paul. as he had been teaching and he had been preaching about the resurrection. Not resuscitation. And the resurrection is so important that Paul uses the present perfect tense in the Greek text for the word raise. In fact, he says that he was raised 6 different times in 9 verses. That's how key that is here in 1 Corinthians 15. But the perfect tense means he is raised and remains raised. It's not a situation here where, okay, Lazarus was raised from the dead by Jesus, but Lazarus didn't stay raised forever. Lazarus died again. Jairus' daughter, who had died, was raised from the dead by Jesus. But one day, Jairus' daughter also died. But in the tense and the discussion that Paul gives here, it's not that Jesus was raised and then sometime later will die again. Jesus was raised and continues to be raised, continues to be alive, remains raised. Now, some of the Corinthians who believed in Jesus and believed in the good news and believed in the resurrection after the crucifixion then turned around and started talking about, well, Jesus was raised, but we won't be raised. They started saying that for a corpse to be raised or for the dead to be raised was illogical and was impossible. So Paul deals with the credibility of resurrection and the credibility of those opposing viewpoints. He begins by stating that if they know what it means to believe in Christ as raised from the dead, then it's illogical to say that people aren't raised because Christ was not a supernatural ghost figure. Christ was the God-man, but the key there is Christ was man as well. And if he was man and was raised from the dead, then God can raise people from the dead for everlasting life. But he goes on to say, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then you can't say that Christ was raised from the dead. Not if you believe he was the God-man. He was divine and human. And if that is the case, Paul says, our gospel is in vain. We believe and we hope and we teach it with no real expectation of its fulfillment. He goes on to say that if you begin saying that, if you begin teaching that God doesn't raise from the dead those who have followed him, then your faith and your experience in God's power is faulty. In fact, is empty. There will be no message of victory over defeat. If God cannot raise from the dead and Jesus were not raised from the dead, there would be no redemption. Might as well go back to sacrificing goats and sheep and bulls. If there is no resurrection and Christ was not raised from the dead, which was part of that early belief, crucifixion, resurrection, one event, two parts, then there is no vindication, no evidence of Christ as Lord. And as a result, no way to truly live in or through Christ Jesus. To deny the resurrection was to reject the power of God for salvation to everyone who has faith. To deny that crucifixion resurrection would be in the same boat as the Buddhists. For you see, the Buddha died. As the Zoroastrian. For you see, Zoroaster died. As the Muslim. For you see, Muhammad died. And on and on and on we could go. And Paul says that is to reject the very, not only the very power of God's salvation, but it's to reject the very core of Christian belief. If there is no resurrection of the dead, Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our proclamation is in vain and our faith is in vain. Why? Because we worship and we follow one who is alive. And not just alive for a short period, but alive forevermore. He goes on to say, and if this idea is carried to its logical conclusion, and Christ was not raised from the dead, then all those people who encountered Jesus after his death, all those apostles who saw him after his death, all of those, including Paul himself, misrepresent God and are false prophets because they testified that God raised Christ from the dead. Now, you might think that we who are here in the 21st century and so sophisticated are among the most difficult people to convince. And in some ways it is difficult for many because we see what medicine and science and other things do. Of course, we kind of tend to forget that God gives people the ability to learn those things and to do those things, and there are things that they can't explain. But you know, those early believers were very hard to convince. They were very hard to convince. The word Paul uses for dead here is nekros, which means corpse. They had seen resuscitations, but they'd never seen a corpse come back. In fact, those early believers even questioned whether Jesus was alive or not. Look back at the gospel accounts. The women come from the tomb and tell those big bad disciples, and they say, oh yeah, right. They see Jesus and they think they're seeing a ghost. And even after he proves himself there, they're still kind of, for a while, not too sure. They were not easy to convince. Paul himself was not easy to convince. But in his defense in the book of Acts before King Agrippa, he indicates just how tough it was for him. Just how difficult it was for him to be convinced and to follow Christ. In fact, he was seeking to stamp out Christianity when he had that encounter of a living Christ, a living being. Paul goes on to say that another consequence of denying the resurrection of the dead is that their faith is meaningless and they're still dead in their sins. They've got no answer to the major problem and the major question of human life. All of those questions, why do bad things happen to good people? Why do the bad people seem to be, those who are against God seem to get all the good stuff? And a lot of we who follow Christ and believe don't seem to have all that good stuff. Of course, we've got things that are better than what they get. And we come down and we say, well, sin. The major problem in human life is sin. And there is no meaningful life here or to come if we can't deal with the question of sin. And so Paul says that faith is meaningless if Christ has not truly been raised. And he says those who believed and died have simply perished. By the way, this particular use of the word for died by Paul and being dead in their sins is based also on the word for perish in Hebrew, which means to become nothing. Perish doesn't mean to simply die. And Hebrew thought the word for perish means to become nothing. If they don't believe that resurrection faith, their lives as meaningful become nothing. And if that's the case, human life does not have any ultimate value or meaning. At least not beyond the short time we're here. And there's no hope for justice for and within an unjust world. But if we believe Christ has been raised, Paul says, we will share in it. We will share in that life. But if not, then he says, we're the most miserable folks on the face of the earth. Our situation is more miserable than those who have no hope. If it's for this life only that we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people the most to be pitied. And therein lies a real question. Why live as if it matters for a short period of time? But also, I would raise the question, why live as if it matters if the only hope is the hope of heaven? Is that all we're here to accomplish? Getting to heaven? A lot of folks, that's why they walk down and make a decision, because they want to get into heaven. They want to get that fire insurance and all that kind of stuff. But I want to suggest a little bit more. Not only from the standpoint of Paul, but even more so from the standpoint of Jesus' own example. I want to suggest that the most important thing about resurrection faith is not, I've got my ticket to get into heaven. I want to suggest that perhaps the most important thing about resurrection faith is the new life that is to be lived in and through Christ. Jesus' resurrection shows God's victory over death as life was given to a corpse. Yes. But Jesus' resurrection also indicates victory of life and Christian living, not just over physical death. I would suggest to you, and you can agree or disagree, that's okay. But I would suggest to you that victory over death gives us victory in life over the deadness that is found within so much of our world. It is a faith that takes righteous living, that takes beatitude living, that takes kingdom living seriously. We can live in ways and we can deal with people in a new way because of resurrection faith, which brings life to those dead places even in our own lives. I would suggest to you that resurrection faith is a belief and a lifestyle which follows the commitment of Jesus and which follows the commission as well. The commitment of Jesus through all of His life was for you and for me to live so that we could know God in a special way. To live so that we could also know how to live in God's kingdom starting now, not just somewhere out there. But it also is a belief and lifestyle that follows the commission of Jesus. What did Jesus say in Acts chapter 1, verse 8? When His disciples say, okay, Lord, will You now give the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus said, only the Father knows. And then what does He say about resurrection faith? They're standing there looking at Him, believing that He finally, after 40 days, that He's there. And what does He say? Go back and sit down and wait, and one of these days you're going to get into heaven and it's going to be glorious. No. Jesus says, if you really have that resurrection faith, you are to be My witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and even to the end of the earth. Resurrection faith is not about just saying we believe and Jesus is alive and now we can sing a few songs and then go about our own business. No, resurrection faith means that we take the commission of Jesus very seriously to live that belief. as witnesses for Christ to the world. Jesus' commission for resurrection faith is also found probably most familiar in such a most familiar fashion to you and to me in Matthew 28:19-20. Resurrection faith demands that we go and make disciples or learners, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you, Jesus says. Especially love of God and love of neighbor, I would think. And then we baptize them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, but not so that they can say, hey, I got my ticket to ride. But rather so that they too can live a resurrection faith, which has called them to be witnesses and to make other disciples. Resurrection faith delivers Christian believers from what one writer calls, and I quote, an existence bereft of the fullness and richness of life which God desires for everyone, end quote. Resurrection faith delivers us from that kind of dreariness. It's assurance. The resurrection faith's assurance was that life abundant here and hereafter, risen and glorified, was the gracious gift of God and continues to be the gracious gift of God to all believers, all who sincerely follow His truth, who sincerely live within His Spirit, who follow God's purpose as revealed in Jesus. We focus on the crucifixion and resurrection, but that was just one moment in Jesus' life for you and for me. Every moment of that life lived, especially each moment of that 3 year or so ministry, was for you and for me. And the purpose that Jesus revealed after His resurrection was that all disciples would live that kind of life and would share that same purpose. And that is our hope. That is the good news that we have in resurrection and resurrection faith. The hope and the good news to be lived and to share with all, that the giver of life is the Almighty One who conquered death, that we may safely trust ourselves to Him and will be in His sure and steady hands, and that He is equal to any emergency that we will ever have if we will but hold on and live that resurrection faith, which gives us victory over the deadness of the world and brings life here and now, and then after death. We talk about the resurrection. We say we believe in the resurrection. How does that change a life of faith? May we pray. Our gracious God, we rejoice in the good news. The good news of the crucifixion and resurrection and what it can and does do for us. Help us to rejoice as well in the good news of what it does through us as we seek to live out not just a vocalized belief, but a resurrection life. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn, our hymn of decision, is number 598. Wherever He leads, I'll go. Sometimes we don't want to. Trust me. Sometimes I don't want to. And yet, if we are going to live that resurrection faith and let Him live in and through us, that is indeed part of our song of life. Number 598, wherever he leads, I'll go.